Holy Spirit. So we've just seen a short video basically looking at Holy Spirit from the beginning in Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And I thought I'd play that just to give you a big picture look at the role of Holy Spirit. That video particularly looks at His presence and His energy in life. I'm going to be looking at a few other aspects of the person of Holy Spirit today, and looking at His role in a believer's life and how we can experience Holy Spirit, how we can hear Him speak to us, how we can be filled with the Spirit. There's lots of different aspects I could go into, but I'm going to be mainly focusing on the words of Jesus today. So I'll encourage you at the end to do a further study of your own. The book of Acts is amazing to see the power of Holy Spirit working through believers' lives, but I'm going to be mainly focusing on, as I said, the words of Jesus. So He is God. Holy Spirit is God. He's a part of the Trinity, the three persons of God being the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. If we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, if you just go to next slide, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So Holy Spirit has been on the earth since the beginning. He was waiting for God to speak. He was waiting to carry out the will of God. He was God's representative, God's agent. He was God's worker. He was there waiting to bring light into the darkness. And He brought life, as we saw in that video, to the earth. He is responsible for all life that we now see and experience. He was there to serve God. So that's something you can see throughout in the Godhead, and Paul touched on this in his talk on the Trinity, is that each of the persons of the Godhead are there to serve the other person. So Holy Spirit, His role is to serve and glorify Jesus. And you can see there that from the beginning, He was there to serve Jesus and perform His will. So what is Holy Spirit's nature? We've established that He is the Spirit of God. Let's look at who He is, a little bit more about His character and nature. If we go to the next slide, His first attribute is holy. His first name, if you like, is holy, Holy Spirit. What does holy mean? Well, in Romans 1, verse 3 to 4, it talks about the Spirit of holiness, which was the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Holiness is God's purity. He's God's perfection. He is separate. Holiness means separation. He is separate and He is pure. Holiness is what we become and receive when we become a believer and follower of Christ. And it's something Holy Spirit desires to bring us into a greater level of holiness. What I mean by that is He desires to sanctify us, which means the continuing ongoing work of renewing, restoring, and restoring our souls. And so we become more like our God, who is holy. Go to the next slide. Now, Jesus referred to Holy Spirit a lot as comforter. And if you look at the Greek word for comforter, it's parakletos, which means someone called alongside to help. A helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener. Let's read John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So Jesus is speaking to his close disciples here. This was during the period, like very close to the time that he was betrayed by his followers, and subsequently he endured that great affliction, as we know, at Calvary, going to the cross. So this was like really was some of his last words that he was sharing. And he was saying that he will ask the Father to give you another comforter. So the Jesus had been with his disciples for 3.5 years, had been sowing and pouring into their life, teaching them, being an example to them. But he had to go away to be with his Father. His ministry on the earth was about to come to an end. And he said that he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. This helper that would help all believers in the time to come, in the age to come. And it says that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus is referring to him as a person, and he's referring to him as someone who would abide with all believers forever. That word abide means to be present, to be dwell with, to be with. And so Jesus is really saying here, like, I want you to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit, because he's going to be with you and he's going to dwell in you. So the disciples actually, it says here, they knew him, Jesus said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. So Jesus was pointing to a time, not too distant future, when Holy Spirit would actually come and dwell inside us. Now that is amazing. I think if you just pondered that for a little while, that the creator of the universe would send himself in the form of Holy Spirit to come and live in our, we essentially are just dust, but God has found favor in our sight. We found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He's been gracious enough to say, look, I'm going to come to help you, and you send Holy Spirit to come and live in you. The Spirit of truth, it says there. Interestingly, the last word where it says, I will not leave you comfortless, that word comfortless means parentless or as an orphan. So in a sense, I think that's really confirming that the dependency we as believers need on the Holy Spirit. If you look at it, well, I've got a brand new baby, and I can attest to the fact that they are very dependent. They cannot survive without your constant care and attention. And like any little child, it's the same thing. They need a parent. They need someone to look after them. And it says here, Jesus saying, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you as orphans. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us to make sure we knew that we were God's children. Firstly, confirm that to us. And also to help us to be that comforter, the advocate, an intercessor. Let's go to the next slide. Teacher. So John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I can personally attest to this verse being very true. I had a period in my life in my early 20s where I was, I guess you could say, dissatisfied with my experience, my spiritual growth. I was seeking for more from God. I knew that there was more to be had than what I was experiencing. So I'd grown up in a Christian family, in a Christian church, and all my life. But my early 20s, I started to really kind of, I guess, want to establish my own relationship with God, even though I didn't know that's what I wanted. But yeah, that sort of accumulated to a period of time where I really had a profound experience with the Holy Spirit coming upon me in 2012. And after that, there was many things that came out of that experience, but one of the things was that the Word of God became alive to me, started to really open up, and I started to read the scriptures and get an understanding on the Word of God like I'd never had before. I remember reading the book of Romans from the beginning and just being amazed by the truth of God's grace and His righteousness and these sort of things which I'd never really understood. And it was really amazing. The Holy Spirit began to teach me. I've recently been ministering to a guy in a house fellowship, and he's said on one or two occasions how he reads the scriptures and he can't really understand what he's reading. And the scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible, it can become dry, it can be confusing, it can be hard to understand. But that is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, so He could empower us to understand the Word of God. He will breathe on the Word of God and bring it to life to us. Because Jesus actually said, "My words are spirit and they are life." So when we have Holy Spirit partnering with us, we're partnering with Holy Spirit and engaging with Him when we read the Word, He will bring it to life. He will give us understanding. He will make those scriptures come off the page into our heart and give meaning and power to those words and revelation. And you don't need to be learned or intellectual or any of these things to be able to understand the Word of God. I mean, Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't qualified in any sense to be a theologian or a great understander of the scriptures, but he wrote, a couple of books in the Bible. And yeah, I think Jesus used unlearned men on purpose to really demonstrate that true revelation from God doesn't depend on your head knowledge. It is actually given by God as a gift through the Holy Spirit. And I think we can learn from the fact that Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of His day, and they actually in effect, resisted the Holy Spirit. Stephen, before he was martyred, said that to the people who were judging him, you've always resisted the Holy Spirit. And they were, because they'd become proud with their head knowledge of the scriptures. And that's just a lesson for us, that if we want to receive revelation from God, we need to be first humble, have humility, because God wants to give us revelation, but we, to be able to handle that and use it according to His will, we need to be humble and be like little children. And one final point is that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it'll come into our heart and it won't ever leave us. when we read the scriptures, they go in. Even if we don't always understand them at the beginning, the Holy Spirit can breathe on scriptures that we've read 10 years ago and bring them to life all of a sudden. And Jesus said, he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said. So I think the gospel is a testament to that. You look at the depth and breadth of the gospels and how they were able to recall all the words of Jesus, and they had the same Holy Spirit that we have today as well. Let's go on the next slide. Guide, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. A personal testimony of mine is that I had this question in my heart probably from in my teenage years. And it was in relation, I won't go into detail about this question and I had, but it was in relation to the spiritual battle that we are in as Christians. And I remember going up to a elder in the church I was attending at the time, who was very knowledgeable in the scriptures and very well respected in that regard. And I asked him this question I had, and I remember being sort of, you know, not 100% satisfied with the answer I got. But anyway, many years later, I began to seek God again for an answer to this question. I'd looked in the scriptures and hadn't found a definitive answer in there, but I kept asking, kept seeking. And a brother in the Lord gave me a prophecy that I would, all the questions I would have would be laid at the feet of Jesus. And 2 or 3 weeks later, I met up with a brother in Christ who I was good friends with, hadn't seen for a while. And I still had this question in my heart, actually, it was still front of my mind. And he actually proceeded to share with me a testimony of someone he'd been ministering to recently. And this testimony, I won't go into the details of it, but essentially it was precisely an answer to my question, and it gave me the exact confirmation that I was seeking, and I knew it was from God instantly when I heard it. And it was like, it was amazing that God knew my heart, he knew what I was seeking an answer on, and he confirmed it for me through a very close friend of mine. So that's an example of the Spirit of truth guiding us into all truth. And I guess the other point I want to make from this is that the Holy Spirit, he wants to speak to us. He wants a relationship. He wants us to engage with him. Whenever he speaks, he won't ever speak contrary to the word of God. So we can be assured that if we had thoughts that are condemnation or judgment or, guilt or fear or shame, these aren't things that from the Holy Spirit. And we can know that the Spirit of truth, he's in effect revealing Jesus to us, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth is here to reveal Jesus and reveal him so we can become more like him. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. Yep, relationship with Holy Spirit. Okay, so Holy Spirit is a person, and he needs to be treated with respect and honour. And he is, I like to refer to him as like a gentleman, that we have to respect and treat with as we would any other person we have a close relationship with. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby he sealed under the day of redemption. So that in effect, we can as believers, we can make the Holy Spirit sad or through our ignoring him, through our being more concerned with our own agendas or our own plans or our own whatever it is, rather than listening to his voice. And for those spouses in the room that are married, if you don't give full attention to your spouse when they're talking to you, you'll probably get told about that. So you won't, you know, it's the same with Holy Spirit. We need to give him our full attention, not just treat him as like, yeah, if he wants to speak to me, he will, sort of thing. I think we can think of Holy Spirit as someone who like comes in a whirlwind with like great fanfare and light, bright lights and, you know, this sort of amazing kind of experience. But in actual fact, Holy Spirit is also a small, still voice that is always wanting to talk to us. He always wants to talk to us, but we have to be actually just attentive to his words and listening and giving him the space and the opportunity and the liberty to be able to speak to us, because we can, you know, be so, focused on what we're doing rather than just being and abiding, which is what Jesus encouraged us to do. And having fellowship or relationship with Holy Spirit is like a partnership. So when you have a partnership, you engage and seek to work with that other person. And the person of Holy Spirit is someone we work with to fulfill the will of God. Again, quenching the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians, it's really about where we have to be careful not to put a lid on what God is trying to do in a situation, but being sensitive to what God is wanting to do, and again, giving him the liberty and space to do that, what he wants to do, letting him have his way in effect. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at the role and functions of the Holy Spirit. So one of the main functions of Holy Spirit is to represent Jesus. So in John 15:26 it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning." And in John 16:14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All the things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." So Holy Spirit, as I said before, he bears witness to us and confirms that we are the children of God. He also empowers us to have his love and character. As we heard Annette share this morning, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the love of God will flow from us as we yield to and abide in the Spirit, abide to the Spirit of God. And he empowers us as well to have the character of Jesus, have the compassion, the grace, and also, I won't go into it today, but he also empowers us for supernatural ministry, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's another topic. He also comes to glorify Jesus. So whenever we are working, whenever we are ministering to other people, whenever we're sharing the gospel, whenever we're sharing the word of God, it always points to Christ. So the Holy Spirit actually never wants the attention to be on him. He actually wants to glorify Jesus. And it's interesting because I came from a church that talked about Holy Spirit at length all the time. And in actual fact, that was putting Holy Spirit in front of Jesus, and it was a little bit the wrong way around. And so I've had to actually go to the scriptures and learn for myself, I guess, relearn what is the correct order to, I guess, worship God the Father by the Spirit. But we're not worshiping the Holy Spirit. We're actually here to worship the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit is here to empower us to glorify Jesus. Okay, so hopefully that's making sense. We'll go to the next slide. So John 7 verse 37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And verse 39, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So the water, the of rivers of living water, it's talking about there, is the life flow of the whole of God, the life flow of the Holy Spirit. It is the power that brings healing, it brings refreshing, it brings cleansing inside of our souls. And you see there that he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it's not one stream, it's multiple rivers flowing out from within us as believers. And I think that's a good analogy to think that, you know, God doesn't operate one method or one process or one, you know, there's no formula with God. He flows out of us as he wills, and we just have to actually go with the flow. It's almost contrary, in effect, to how man harnesses water to create power. They actually, like, block the flow of the water to create something. But in effect, in the spiritual realm, with the Holy Spirit, we go with the flow. We go with his flow. We don't actually put barriers or walls up or try and control that flow, because we need to let him have his way. And that we develop that through having time with Holy Spirit and growing in our love for God. As we heard before, we become more sensitive to what he wants to do. And we have to be careful not to let our ideas, our structure, our programs, whatever it is, inhibit the flow of the Holy Spirit. But actually, as I said before, give him that space and liberty. The other thing is that we won't ever go dry or have lack or get burnt out when we're ministering out of the flow of the Holy Spirit, because he's that supernatural flow of life that'll be flowing out of us. I can attest to this, that if you're ministering to people out of your own effort, it's very difficult, it's time consuming, and there's not much fruit. So it's just, I guess, encouragement that we need to have that Holy Spirit overflowing out of us, so that other people can drink from that well. Other people can come to us and have that living water sustain them and fill them. I think I'm going to run out of time, so I might leave it there for just because of time. But God willing, I might have another opportunity to share some more. I wasn't sure how long this is going to take, because it's sort of a big topic. But I suppose just a final encouragement that Holy Spirit is, he's a friend, he's a helper. He's someone, a person we can engage with and have a relationship with. He's He wants to glorify Jesus. He wants to flow out of our innermost being. He wants to speak to us. He wants to renew us, restore us, make us holy. He wants to bring the life flow of God in us, but not just for us, it's for others as well. Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. And that grace is for others to receive from us. So, I might just pray in closing. Father, thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to die and suffer and go to the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins, God. And indeed, even that he might be buried and rise again and be glorified to be sitting on the right hand of the Father, that we could receive the Holy Spirit in us to come and dwell in us and help us to glorify Jesus, to bring that life into the world, that others might receive that life, that others might drink from that living water. Lord God, I just pray that you would fill us all with the Holy Spirit, that we would hunger and desire to know him, that we would be sensitive to his voice, that we would just grow closer to Holy Spirit and experience him and know him as a friend and as a helper, a comforter, a teacher, a guide, an advocate, and all these other characters that he and roles he has. I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.